Appreciate the opportunity to come and to stand in the pulpit one more time for the Lord. If I had it my way, most of us would probably agree, if I had it my way, I wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. That's just who we are. Amen, Brother Brian. That's just who we are, ain't it? If we had our choice, we'd stay at the house. But I tell you, I'm glad there's one who went far beyond me. One who went further than I could go to give me the opportunity to stand. As much as He's done for me, as little as I can do for Him is what I want to do. I'll never be able to repay Him. I can't repay Him. If He'd allow me to live in this life 1,000 years, I couldn't repay Him. But I tell you what I'm going to do. One of these days when I get over to Glory Land, I'm going to thank Him. I'm going to go to that throne, and I'm going to get down before Him, and I'm going to thank Him.
Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes you just think you can't comprehend just exactly what He done.
Yeah.
You just know that He done it.
Yes, sir, brother.
You feel that He done it. You believe that He done it. And sometimes you try your best to get a hold of what it's going to be like when you get there.
Come on, brother.
But I just don't know what it's going to be like. But I know that I'm going to be with the Lord.
Yeah, man.
And I'm going to thank Him for it for the rest of eternity. Amen. Boy, I tell you, eternity's a long time.
Yeah.
To miss out and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Eternity is a long time to be in a place where the worm dieth not and where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Honey, there's a long time to sit down there and be in torment.
Yeah.
I'm glad He come by my way. And I'm glad that He seen fit to save an old wretched soul and sinner like me.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that He come to this earth and died for me. I'm so thankful that He went to the heart of the earth, rose again, and ascended to the Father, sit on the right hand of the Father, and then seen fit one day to see down to the portal of time to see an old boy like me that was lost and undone and needed a Savior. I'm so glad that He come my way through the Holy Ghost of God and come by my way like a mighty rushing wind and called upon me to be saved and gloriously born again. I'm glad I couldn't find that at Walmart. I'm glad I couldn't find it at the store. I'm glad I couldn't find it myself. But I'm glad, honey, I found it in a God, a Son whose Christ He is, a Savior is mine. I'm so glad of that tonight. If I could have found it anywhere else, He wouldn't have had to come. But I'm so glad of that tonight. Brother Brian, you stirred my heart this evening, and the Lord began to change a few things. I began to feel a little different than what I did when I got here. The Lord changed me a little bit, changed the direction that He wanted me to go. And I already had a message title, but He's changed it, brother. He's changed it. I'll go ahead and share this with you. I was going to preach on what will you do when the Lord passes by. But the Lord dealt with my heart, and now He wants me to preach to you when Jesus comes in the midst, what will you do? Because I believe tonight God's in the midst. I believe the Lord is in very present right now with us, wanting to work in somebody's life. I believe the Lord has passed by and He's going to hang around in the midst of this congregation for a little while until somebody gets what God wants them to have tonight. I believe God wants to touch somebody tonight. I believe God wants to bless somebody tonight. I believe God wants to save somebody tonight. I believe God wants to set you free from a burden you're carrying around. I believe He wants to set you free from a problem that you've been worrying about. I believe He wants to set you free from something that you can't battle on your own tonight. He's passed by your way tonight. He's sitting in the midst. All you got to do is reach out and get a hold of Him tonight. Amen. Bible tonight tells us, if you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 20. I've been in this scripture a time or two, but I'm going to do my best to bring it to you in a new fashion and a new way. I love the Lord tonight. I love the opportunity. I always like to thank the church and the pastor for allowing me to come and be in the midst of this congregation. It's a privilege and honor to be back in God's house. Boy, I tell you tonight, would be a better time to get your problems solved right now. What better time it would be to bring your cares and your troubles to Jesus Christ tonight and let Him lift your burden, let Him lift that heavy weight you're carrying around tonight so you could, honey, tonight feel the liberty to get up and serve Him like He wants you to. A lot of times, Brother Perry, I believe that the reason why we don't able to serve God is because we're carrying around such a burden in a way we don't even know how to serve Him. If we would just let God be God and let the Spirit of God be the Spirit of God and come by and lift us up and take our cares away, if we let Jesus Christ be the glory and grace that He is in our lives, honey, I believe we could have full-blown church. I believe we could have what you call a Holy Ghost movement in His place. I believe if we just get right with God and get honest with ourselves and pour our hearts out to God, I believe He'd pour out on us. I believe, hey, tonight, if we'd reach and get hold of heaven, heaven will come down and have its way in your life. Maybe tonight we need to get ourselves right to have church. In Matthew, the Bible tells us tonight, Matthew chapter 20, if you will stand for just a moment, read God's Word. I want to do my best to preach Jesus in the midst.
Yeah.
Amen. Tonight you pray for us and lift us up. And the more you pray for me, I believe the harder I could preach. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us this in Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed Him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. That's the wrong glasses. Two men by the wayside, and when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still. Ooh, glory. Oh, Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Father in heaven, again, I approach the throne of grace. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that You'd help me tonight, God. God, I've stood in this place and been in a pulpit many times, but, Lord, I've never stood in a pulpit without Your help tonight. God, I pray, Lord, if You just pass by tonight, oh, God, do business in Your children's hearts and lives. God, I pray, Lord, that Your children, Father, would just come to You tonight. Pour their hearts out to You, O Lord. And God, I pray that they just get their business took care of, God. Get their life in order and get straightened out. God, I pray that You'd move upon this congregation. God, I pray, Lord, that nobody would leave the way they came. God, I pray that You'd hide me behind the cross for a moment. God, I pray that You'd anoint my lips of clay, God, and have Your way. Give me wisdom and knowledge, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do the best I can tonight to share with you God, Christ in the midst. Christ in the midst. And I tell you what, my heart is just going everywhere right now. And I tell you what, and you stood in the pulpit long enough, and Brother Perry, you teach Sunday school, and God begins to change your heart and change your direction. It makes you a little nervous, amen. It makes you a little uneasy. But you know what? God's in control tonight, and God has got this thing called life. And God's got you tonight, amen. And if we would just realize that tonight, things could be better in our lives. If we would just truly just believe that God has got us in His hands and He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us go. And if we just lean upon Him and trust Him, honey, God's got great big shoulders tonight. He's got a great big arm to lean on. He's got great big ears to hear us. And He's got a great big hand to reach out. Why don't we just get a hold of God and let God do what He needs to do in our lives. I want to show something to you tonight. When Jesus in the midst, I'm going to take but just a few minutes here, but I want you to see something about the cry. Three things I want you to see about the cry, and I'll be real quick about it tonight. Three things about these two blind men's cry I want to share with you. One was the willingness of their cry. The willingness of their cry tonight. What do you say, preacher? Well, they was in a point in their lives to where they was ready to cry out to a God. They had been blinded long enough. They had been walking around in darkness long enough. They was ready in their hearts. They was ready in their minds to get a hold of a God who was coming by, amen. They was getting ready to know, heard of a man named Jesus. Honey, they knew that He was a passing by and He was going to be in the midst of their place. Honey, they was ready to cry out to a God. And can I say this? You get to a point in your life, you're crying ready enough to cry out to God. You won't wait on the altar call. You won't wait on the preacher, honey. You'll go to God right then and right there. Listen, the willingness of their cry is the lackingness of the church today. The willingness of their cry is the lack of the church today, honey. The church ain't willing to pray no more. The church ain't willing to seek God no more, honey. They ain't willing to get a hold of God for their loved ones. They ain't willing to get a hold of God for those that's lost. Honey, the willingness has been left at the house. The willingness has been left over there where they wanted it to be. They don't want to serve God no more. The willingness to cry, amen. They're ready to get a hold of God. Ain't there no more.
You're right, brother. Come on.
But they got to a place in their life to where they was ready to get a hold of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they was willing to get a hold of Him. We ain't even willing to even come to church when we have a revival. We ain't even willing to go to a church meeting on Saturday. We ain't willing to go to a church meeting, a prayer meeting on Saturday night. We ain't even willing enough to take time away from the television to congregate with God's children, honey. Amen or oh me. But God's children has not a willingness no more to serve God no more. They ain't got a willingness to see their loved ones saved. They ain't got a willingness to see the church grow. They ain't got a willingness to see the Spirit grow. And Lord, honey, why do we wonder why our churches are falling apart?
Amen, brother. Come on. Bless you, Father.
Their willingness to cry.
Yeah.
Right. We often think that if we come up to an old-fashioned altar,
yeah.
Brother Joe, myself, Brother Perry, Brother Brian, or whoever else, wherever you're sitting, we're going to think, well, they think we're lost. Hey man, they think we're lost. They think that, boy, we've got some form of a sin that we've been trying to hide. Honey, you don't have to have a willingness to cry to God because you're a sinful person. You got a broken heart. You can get to a contrite spirit. Honey, you get a willingness to cry. Have you ever had enough to where you want to just shout and scream? Have you ever been to a place to where you've had enough to where you just want to fight? Honey, let me tell you something. If we'd fight on our knees, if we'd fight in the willingness to get home, glory to God, honey, we'll see mountains come down. We'll see the walls of Jericho fall. And we'll see the Red Sea part. Honey, get the willingness to cry out to God for your loved ones. Amen. Get a willingness tonight. I'm willing to do a lot of things. But there's a lot of things I ain't willing to do. I am willing to come to church. Am I willing to testify? Not all the time. Shame on me. Am I willing to go up into a high building? No, sir.
Come on.
I ain't going to do it. But am I willing to go down and sit down there in the low parts of that building and let everybody else go to the high? Sure I am. I'm terrified of heights.
Come on, brother.
I ain't willing to go any higher than about 10 feet.
Bless you, Lord.
But we, as a church, as a body, as a congregation, as a whole, as a one, we've got to get to a place where we're willing. What are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to lay down? What are we willing to give up every once in a while? What are we willing to cut out of our life that maybe we can allow God to be cut back into our life? Hey man, listen, we've been grafted in since He hung on the cross and washed our soul with His blood and saved our sins. We've been grafted in, heirs and joint heirs to the throne. Honey, we need to get to a place where we'll cut and trim the fat and let God filter Himself back in our homes, back in our church, and back into our lives. Amen.
Amen.
What are you willing to do tonight? Are you willing to cry out to God for somebody that you don't love? Somebody you don't like? Are you willing to cry out for somebody that has double-crossed you, cheated you, stole from you? Are you willing, honey? Let me tell you something. Everybody fits that profile mold because we cheated and stealed and lied. Jesus come for us. We as wretched sinners and bound for hell, honey, but He came. He was willing to leave His home, His glory in heaven. He was bound and willing to leave His throne and His crown of jewels and throne. Hey, listen. And come to wear a crown of thorns. He was willing to be born of a virgin, to have no home, to have no place to lay. He was willing tonight to die for you and for your sins.
Amen, brother. Come on, it's good.
He was willing.
Yeah.
Are you willing? What are you willing to see? These two blind men had lived their whole life blind, and they had come to a place where they was ready. Whatever it took, I'm getting to Jesus. I sat in a church service one time about 15, 20 years ago. No, probably a little bit longer than that. It's right after I got saved. I watched a man about halfway back there, about where that brother's sitting right there looking at me. And he fell, I mean plumb fell out in the floor, sobbing and weeping. And he crawled himself humbly and listened all the way to an old altar right there. And he begged and cried out to God. He poured himself out to God. He was willing, whatever it took. God laid it upon his heart to fall out into the aisles and to crawl himself shamefully to a mighty and marvelous God, to let God pick him up from the problems that he was in. Honey, he could only get humble enough that God could pick him up and clean him up and help him in his need. Willing to cry tonight is what the Lord wants to know tonight. Are you willing to cry? Listen. Listen, second of all, I want you to understand tonight, it was their determination to cry. Their determination to cry. Their willingness come in the Scripture where they heard that Jesus was coming through and they cried out. Okay, they was willing to cry out to the Lord. Amen. Can I say this? We're willing, most of us probably are willing to reach up and reach out and give the Lord a little bit of glory. But are we determined to get a hold of heaven? Are we determined that God's going to see us give Him glory? Now, I ain't saying that all of it's about you, and I ain't saying to put all the spotlight on you, but every once in a while, God wants to see how determined we are that we will give Him a little praise every once in a while. He wants to see how determined we are to do what He asks us to do. Brother, you was determined to preach. You was determined to do what God laid on your heart. And He gave God the glory and the glory alone. We got to get determined to get a hold of heaven. We can't get a hold of heaven coming up here and repeating the model prayer the Lord gave His disciples.
No.
You got to get broken down and you got to be determined to cry out until the Master comes to you.
Yeah, man. That's right,
bro. Amen. I pray every once in a while on the job and it's just a couple of minutes there, and I pray going to work, it's just a couple of minutes. But am I determined if I've got a burden? Am I determined to pray all the way to work and through work? Am I determined to steal away at break? To put aside my Twinkie, amen? Put aside my lunch, amen? Just to simply get a hold of heaven? Am I determined to give up what I like, what I want? Am I willing to cry in a determination that God will show up on the scene? See, we got to get determined. Determined. And that word determined is with a purpose tonight. It's a purpose. It's an act of finding something. And it's an act of finding direction. Direction tonight. Boy, I tell you, we need direction of the Lord. Oh, man. If you watch the television, they're going to give you a direction, all right, but it's going to be negative. It's going to be horrifying. And everything they want you to do is right opposite and contrary to the Word of God.
Come on.
We need to have righteous determination. And we need to have a holy willingness tonight to seek the absolute will of the Father. And we need to cut ties with everything that goes against God. Whether it's on the job, whether it's your spouse. Look, I'm not telling you to run and make a book. I'm telling you this. If your spouse, if your children, if your family has a direction opposite of the Word of God, honey, you better call them on it. You better call them up. You better show them that they're wrong and what's right. We got to get a determination tonight to get back founded on the righteous Word of God. And we got to get determined to get a hold of heaven for every problem. Every problem. I had a buddy of mine, he asked me, he said, man, some people might think it's crazy, he said, but I'd like to find a girlfriend, someone I can be acquainted with, someone I might fall in love with. Hey, man, he said, some people might think, listen, that's not crazy. God is in order and direction in that same instance. Amen. Listen, if we don't pray for the right spouse, if we don't pray for the right partner in this life, honey, all things can cause chaos. Listen, don't be unequally yoked, amen. You let God put the right one in your life. You let Him lead you the right spouse, and honey, things will be good.
Yep.
You get a hold of God about a spouse. You get a hold of God about your light bill. You get a hold of God about a doctor bill. You get a hold of God about a doctor's report. There ain't nothing too small for God, and there sure ain't nothing too big for God. He is the God of the little things. He's the God of the big things. And He's the God of everything in between tonight. Listen tonight. Determination to get a hold of heaven to fix your problems. We got to have direction. And the Bible is the only direction we can find. Worthy to follow.
Right.
Everything else is considered dung.
Yeah.
Amen. We got to get determined tonight.
You're right.
And we got to seek it and we got to find it.
Come on, brother.
Not only that, when we find it, we got to hang on to it.
Yes, sir.
Too many times we find what we want, we like it, but then we lay it down.
Yeah.
Then we forget where we laid it. We forget where it's at.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't need to do that with the Lord.
No.
Don't forget where you left Him. Amen, but maybe you might need to... No, let me rephrase, let me back up. You don't need to lay Him down to start with.
Yeah.
But if you do lay Him down, don't forget where you left Him.
Yeah.
You need to go back and find Him, amen. And you need to get Him back in your life, and you need to let Him fix your life and fix your problems and be determined to live on the road and the path of the straight and narrow, amen, and no other way. Tonight, the church needs a willingness and a determination.
Yeah.
And then they need something else tonight. These men tonight found a determination to cry. Why you say that? Well, when the multitude rebuked them,
yeah,
they cried the more. The more.
Yeah.
They cried the more.
Yeah.
One person, and I know this is an old beat a dead horse, but this is where we got to. What was it in the 70s? One lady got the prayer out of school.
Yeah.
Where was all of God's children crying the more?
Yeah.
When the homosexuality began to run rampant in this nation, and the transgenderism began to run rampant in this nation, and the same-sex marriage in the churches begin to run rapid in this nation, where was God's children crying the more? Was we willing enough to stand and hurt some feelings because the Word of God is true and infallible and it's an abomination to God and it's a stinking to His nostrils? When and where was God's children when all that was taking place? We wasn't determined in our little corner of the region. It's not coming here. It's not going to happen here. Honey, bless God, it's already here. It's already happening, and they're taking it out, and don't you think they'll take it out of the church? Don't you think they're trying to take it out of our hearts and our lives? That God is no God. Don't you think it'd help them and make them happy to take the Word of God out of your house? Listen, we better get determined.
Right.
Or they're going to come in our own church houses, and they'll take the Word of God out. Or they'll put officers back there in the back. And you can't preach Romans chapter 1, brother. You can't preach that no more, brother. You can't teach them Romans chapter 1 no more. The last 7-8 verses, you can't teach them and preach them no more. Honey, let me tell you, we better get determined. We better get determined to cry out to God.
Amen.
To seek direction and leadership for not only our church houses, but our homes and our children. And for these kids and the school bus drivers and the teachers. You got to get determined, or the devil's just going to steamroll us on over. And we'll be laid and we'll be just like Israel was in a 7-year captivity. We'll be bound down, we'll be slaves, and we'll have to answer to people that we don't even like. We'll have to answer to people that don't even serve a God named God. Amen.
Hello.
We'll have to serve them. We'll have to labor for them. We'll have to be just like that. And you think I'm lying? That's coming. It's a coming if we don't get serious and get to praying and asking God's leadership and help us get through this. I'll share this with you. The third thing I want you to see tonight is the results of a cry. The results of a cry. And the results is simply the conclusion. The conclusion. The conclusion of this life will be when the Lord splits the eastern sky. The conclusion of this whole mess is going to be when He steps out from the throne of glory on that eastern sky out on a cloud. And He steps out and He comes and gets His church. That'll be the conclusion of it all. But don't you know what the conclusion of your life can be? That if you would cry out to God, the conclusion to these blind men was that the Lord gave them their sight back. And they got that because they was willing to go the extra mile and they was determined that they wouldn't be shut down or shut up. Honey, they was determined to get God's attention. The Bible said Jesus passed by and they cried to more and God's Son stood still and helped them.
Yeah, right,
he helped them.
Yeah.
The Lord stood still, turned, and spoke to them. How long has it been since Jesus got in the midst of where you're at?
Yeah.
How long has it been since the Lord got in the midst of your home, in your pew? Listen, the God don't have to be in the midst of the pulpit. The Lord is everywhere.
Yes, He is.
I've seen the Lord be so thick and heavy in the pulpit and thicker about four rows back.
Yeah.
I've seen it so thick in the church house that you couldn't cut it with a sharp knife.
Yeah.
Are we willing to cry out to God when He comes in our midst? See, the results of that cry will be that you will get your problems fixed. You got a burden for a loved one? How many nights have you cried? How many nights have you gave up? How many nights have you just given up and said, Lord, there's just some that's just not going to make it. Lord, there's just some that's not going to heed the gospel call. Lord, I've done all that I could. I've read them anywhere from John 3:16 all the way to Genesis 1, all the way to Luke. Amen. I've done everything I could. I've gave them the Romans road of salvation. I've gave them everything from Paul to John to Peter to James. I gave them everything from Satan, Lucifer to the garden. I've gave them everything from the sin to grace. I've gave them everything from the old to the new. I've even gave them the lake of fire. I've gave them the judgment. I gave them all that I could give and they just ain't going to buy in. They're not going to accept it. I'm just going to start praying for someone else. That's a good lie from the devil. Because see, all can be saved. And as long as there's a breath in this body, there he can still be saved.
Right.
See, the results of the cry is to see the answered prayers that you've been praying in them long, lonely nights. When you come up here to the altar and you pray, and nobody else understands what you're praying about, And you hope that they'd extend the altar. And you hope that you would say, Lord, if they'd just play one more stanza in this self-same hour, you'll honor my prayer and they'll get saved. You'll send the Holy Ghost to the home. You'll send somebody their way and they'll give them the gospel and they'll get born again. See, the willingness and the determination gives us the result of that cry. See, their willingness to cry first to the Lord ain't what got the results. The determination and the willingness to cry out to the Lord got the results of their cry. See, the Bible says, and I'm not good with quoting Scripture word for word, but I will say this, that John tells us, 10 or 14, I believe it is, that He knows His sheep. He knows His sheep. And His sheep know Him. A stranger they will not follow. But the great thing about that Scripture is that the Bible said that He knows His sheep. He knows you tonight. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but I'll tell you this. God knows your situation tonight. The Lord departed out of Jericho. And the word depart means, in other words, He was done in Jericho. What they thought He was done. But as He departed Jericho, there was one more job. There was one more task. As He departed, He was to go out and to go forth. But there was one more priority that the Lord had to see to. And it was two blind men. See, the blind men heard that He was coming. Jesus knew He was a-coming. See, the blind men knew He was coming this way. They didn't know if He'd pass by. But the Lord knew He was going to pass by their way. And see, the Lord knows He's going to come by your way. Matter of fact, He's probably already come by. He's probably already come by your way at some point. He's probably already knocked on your door for something. See, don't let Him depart out of this building and miss your blessing. Get your blessing while He's here. Get your blessing while He's dealing with you. Get your problems fixed while He's dealing with you. Get your blindness fixed. Get your lameness fixed. Get your issues fixed. Let no one suppress you. Seek God. Paul and Silas was suppressed, shackled, beaten, thrown into a prison, left for dead. But their willingness to cry and pray at midnight, we don't only see that they was delivered from the prison, the results of their cry, their prayer, and their song. Wasn't that they just got delivered, but the results of it was that the jailer got right too. And see, the results of your cry don't necessarily have to be for your benefit. It can be for the benefit of others around you. See, Paul and Silas was already taken care of, but the jailer was not. The jailer still needed his soul saved. Amen? His issue was that he needed to meet a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Their willingness to serve God where they was beat, their willingness to cry out and sing praises and songs to heaven was because they loved the Lord. They didn't see the jailer get right, but they was willing to serve Him no matter what tonight, and the jailer got right. See, if we would be willing to serve the Lord, we might see our neighbor get saved. We don't know who's in this house tonight that's lost. It says they're saved. We don't know who the Lord's dealing with. Amen. We don't know your condition. I don't. But you better be willing to cry out to the Lord and have a determination. Listen, one voice of one child of God is greater than 10,000 devils in hell. One voice of a saint of God is more powerful than 10,000 devils. Amen. Listen. Why do you say that? Because Paul told us, I believe it was, or James, one of them, said that because greater is He that is in you, He that is in you, the Lord that is in you, greater is He than he that is in the world. The Bible says that He is the prince of the power of this hour. He's the one that's been roaming to and fro ever since they was kicked out of the garden. He's the one that presented Himself to God in the days of Job. He's the one that looked as a roaring lion to Peter, honey. He's the one today who wants to destroy you, kill and steal today. But the one that is greater is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your voice, honey, can break the chains of others. Your voice tonight is more powerful than the devil and 10,000 of his angels. Listen, we alone can't fight the devil. We alone can't defeat the devil. But because we have overcome the world through Jesus Christ, we have overcome. We are overcomers today because of a cross, because of a Savior, because of the blood, because of the resurrection. We are overcomers today. And we can overcome whatever stands before us because of Jesus Christ. See, we don't have no ability in us. Never have, never will. The only ability in us is what lives within me. And that is God. Amen. That is the Holy Ghost of God. In other words, Brother Chris, like say, the good Holy Ghost. Amen. And boy, is He ever good. Amen. He's been so good to me. He's been better to me than He's probably been to y'all. He's always took care of me. He's watched over me. He's fed me. He's clothed me. He's sheltered me, honey, and through His conviction. And God saved me through that.
Amen.
Oh, He's so good tonight. Why? Why do we neglect the goodness of God? Why do we neglect it? Are we ashamed? Are we ashamed that the world may judge us? Are we ashamed that the preacher may judge us? Are we ashamed that the deacons may judge us? Honey, they ain't nobody going to judge you. And if they do, they need to be up here getting right too. If you've got a problem tonight, you need to take it up with the Lord. Let God lift your burdens tonight. Because the results is far better than the present moment. The present moment ain't worth a flip. Jesus stood still for them men. And Jesus will stand still for you. How heavy is your heart tonight? Listen, the Bible said, Job 33:12 says this. The Bible quotes this. The Bible said, and Job said, that the God is greater than man. God is greater than man. And I like Brother Brown what he said about Oprah and Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil don't know no more than my granddaddy knew. Amen. Matter of fact, Dr. Phil is an overpaid baboon. God is the only one we need to look to. God ought to be our therapist. God ought to be the one. He is our high physician. And we sure don't need anybody else telling us how to conduct our lives. If our lives ain't conducted by the Word of God, written in black and red, we need to check up. Listen, note this. And I'll close on this. Your cry tonight. Your heart may be broken. And your heart may be broken to a point to where you don't know how to even put the pieces back together. But if it is, your heart may be broken. Your shout may be slipping. Your praise may be silent. But Jesus has just passed by your way. And He wants to restore all of that. Do you know Jesus wants to restore your broken heart tonight? He wants to restore your shout. And He wants to restore your praise. He wants to restore the joy of thy salvation. He wants to restore happiness in your home. He wants to restore a relationship between your loved ones. He wants to restore the relationship between you and Him. He wants to restore so much that this world has tried to rob you from. He wants to restore the things the devil has taken away from you. And honey, the devil will continue to take until we get on our knees and begin to pray with a determination and a willingness to get a hold of heaven. Until we get a hold of God, honey, don't stop praying.
Amen.
All this takes place when the world comes crashing down on you. When the multitude begins to rebuke you. And the devil begins to rebuke you. Begins to rebuke your faith. And begins to rebuke your cry. And begins to rebuke your fellowship and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just let it make you stronger.
Amen.
Listen. It can't break you. The devil can't break you. He wants to break you, but he can't break you. Dig in deep. Dig into the trenches and get calloused knees. Get your nose so far down on the floor in humbleness that you got carpet burn when you come up. But when you come up with a shout. Come up with a praise. Come up with a song. Come up with victory in you. Stand back and watch God do some marvelous things in your life. Because if you'll do that, God will do some marvelous things in your life. He's just waiting for some of His children to become willing. And He's just waiting for some of His children to get determined. He's standing there waiting. Matter of fact, He's here now. He's in this church house right now. And you know something else? He knows who you are. He knows exactly where you're standing right now. So why don't you turn to Him? That's the message. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day.